Well, it's time to discuss the big issues facing the world at the moment with the one and only Alex Selios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Alex, good to have you on the program again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Netflix is something that I have become far too reliant on these days, but they're changing the way we might watch television again.
So Netflix are in an interesting position at the moment because they've always been seen as the market leader when it comes to streaming platforms. But now we're seeing, you know, companies like Apple moving into that space. Disney has their own streaming channel. Of course, we've got Stan here in Australia, and most of the channels stream as well. So Netflix really need to understand from a psychological standpoint why people watch back-to-back episodes and what else they'll get hooked into. What they're trying to do at the moment is they're actually putting out the Great British Baking Show, which is hugely popular, which I was never aware of, but actually drip feeding it one episode at a time. So it's going to be sort of almost a test to see if people are still absolutely enthralled by the series and continue to watch it, or do people tend to stick with a series if they know they can watch it in one go. But looking at Game of Thrones, which was always drip-fed to us for many, many years, I'm thinking if you love the show, it doesn't really matter. And also, can I just say, remember in the 80s and 90s when you'd watch a sitcom and it would be at the end of the show and it would say, to be continued? And it was so exciting.
Yeah.
And you anticipated the next week. So I think they're playing off of that as well.
Well, I suppose they've got their own research, though, because they do have a lot of shows that they actually syndicate through other outlets. There's a show that I began watching on Netflix called Designated Survivor that they're originally buying from, I think, ABC in America, and it was being dropped episode by episode. But then it got axed, and Netflix bought it themselves and put the whole episode, the whole season up in one hit. So I imagine the research is telling them that despite the fact that we all think we want to binge, we'll still watch it the old-fashioned way anyway.
And it also is, the whole Netflix thing is a really bonding experience. It's a real bonding experience for people. You hear a lot about couples who bond over their favourite shows. You hear about friends getting together for marathons. So, you know, they understand that and they're trying to remain the market leader.
Yeah. Well, we do it all the time here. Hey, have you watched the latest episode of such and such? Why are Aussie men living longer?
So this was actually an unexpected discovery or piece of research. When you consider that, when you think of humans who live a long time, you tend to think of Japan.
Yeah.
With a lot of individuals who live far, far beyond 100. But this is actually an interesting piece of research that was called lagged cohort life expectancy. It's an approach where they look at the historical mortality conditions that older generations of today have to experience. And then what they found was that the data showed that Australian men lived the longest, up to 74.1 years of age. American men only lived up to around 71.57 years. But when it came to women, it was the Swiss females that lived up to 79 years of age. So when you talk about why is this hypothetical group of people living to this life expectancy measure, you really do look into different things, like, for example, what sort of food do they eat? What sort of lifestyle choices do they have? And you know, it's really also about what they're exposed to. So, for example, a lot of other countries are exposed to a lot of major conflict, which plays a part in health and overall sustainability of the wealth of the wellness of the country.
Yeah.
That we in Australia haven't had.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. Now, we've spoken quite a bit about the fact that there's a lot of fake news on social media. One of the platforms is trying to fight back.
Yeah, look, this is quite interesting because one of the biggest criticisms when that comes for social media platforms has been all around, you know, you allow fake news to be spread, particularly around health issues. So that's why a lot of the bloggers and a lot of bogus health websites get to put out so much propaganda. Mm. Now, Pinterest are actually doing something a little bit different, and it's a bit of a controversial move, but I think it's fantastic. They're actually taking the radical step to break down the search function for terms such as vaccines or cancer cures and make sure that the person is advised to seek medical advice, but then they'll also only display information from trusted sources such as the World Health Organization or the Centers for Disease Control or the American Academy of Pediatrics or the Vaccine Safety Net. And I think that this is a really strong move to putting in place measures so that people who do get sucked into propaganda or do share articles that are bogus or have misinformation or worse, out of context data around research, it at least gives them the opportunity to be given the you know, a credible source.
I think it's a terrific idea and a very bold move, and good on Pinterest. I might have to get on there. Now, I use voice-activated devices at home. We've discussed that before, but cybercrime may be using my voice against me.
So this is a real big issue around voice fraud. It's not a small problem. It's actually risen by 350% since 2013 to 2017. And it's got a high, there's a high likelihood that AI and voice technology's ability to replicate your voice and then use it for illegal or fraudulent purposes will be the new frontier when it comes to fraud. So an example would be you are a banker and you receive a phone call from a very long-term client. You listen to your client speak. The client advises you to transfer $250,000 to a particular bank account. You've known this client a long time. You have no reason to question whether or not it's legitimate because you're listening to the person on the phone. Then you find out that software had been created to replicate that voice and it wasn't actually that person at all. And this has happened a few times in Europe. It's happened in Germany. It's happened in a number of different places around Europe. There was an incident where a man from Austria made a phone call and the CEO listened and believed it because he knew the person's voice, and he was being advised to transfer funds to Mexico and did so. So it's a big problem. It ties in very succinctly with the whole deep fake videos, which we've spoken about before. And I think the important thing around this is to remember to always check your bank statements, your insurance documents, credit union documents to make sure that you're able to pick up if anything odd's happening.
Yeah, I got to say, that frightens me a little bit, particularly with the Australian Tax Office, their app, the preferred identification method is voice verification. So,
It's a footprint and it's a form of verification. So, it's much like your signature or a PIN number, your voice is becoming a valuable, source, and that's obviously now it's possible to exploit that.
Yeah, indeed. Now, just quickly, we spoke about this last week when it was announced, but the federal government has announced laws basically banning the transactions over $10,000 in cash.
Yes, so this isn't a really new thing in the sense that it was actually announced during the 2018-19 federal budget when Scott Morrison was treasurer. So the idea around it is that there are limits on cash transactions above $10,000 made to or accepted by individuals and businesses for goods and services. So they're even saying the cash payment limit could warrant prison time. And there's also discussions around a black economy hotline where you can dob someone in who's, asking for cash transactions to occur. Part of the reason why is a crackdown on tax evasion, but also the links towards criminal rings that where people mostly deal with, cash. But then when you think about how does it impact the everyday person? Well, it won't impact you if you sell a friend a car and you pay $11,000 in cash. It will affect you if you pay that cash to a car dealer or to somebody who's doing maintenance work on your property, for example. So you've got a builder on site and they're saying to you, look, we'd prefer to take, money, cash up front, and you won't get a receipt, and then that's exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's part of the reflections on the use of cash bill.
And a similar law to this has been in place in the United States for years and years. So I thought it was a bit of a storm over a teacup when people were jumping up and down about it last week.
Well, it's $10,000. I mean, it's not like you're talking about, the everyday transaction on eBay for a couple of $100s and you might go to jail for that. It generally falls into the category of people who are avoiding paying tax. And I guess this is a way for the government to track that and also to, move towards, digital cash and a cashless society.
Yeah, indeed. Alex, always good to talk to you. We'll catch up again next week.
Thanks so much.
Alex Selios from thebigsmoke.com.au back with us next week on Australia by Night.